Good morning. It is 7:32 and you're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Linda.
And we have got our regular guest at this time, Brad Graber with investingintruth.com. Brad is a financial planner, has got great biblical financial advice. Brad, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, good morning.
Hey, we're going to talk about credit cards and a survival guide. I'm going to start first. Kelly and I, you know, we both each have a child in college. And guess what, Brad? They're getting those unsolicited.
I know what college.
Yes, they're getting those unsolicited letters or, you know, encouragement in the mail to, hey, welcome to the world of credit cards. Want to have one?
I still remember those college days. It's amazing how many credit cards people would sign up for just in order to get a T-shirt or something silly like that.
Yeah, I even thought about putting my son, since he was in college, on my credit cards. And then I said, wait a minute, let's put the brakes on. I don't think he needs this, so nope.
I know. Well, credit cards are a reality. And even as believers, you know, there's different thoughts on credit cards. But let's start with the credit card situation. What's a benefit? You'll hear people say, oh, well, at least I get money back if I do this, that, and the other. What are the benefits of credit cards?
Sure. And it's important to make the distinction here in the beginning as well, though, that credit cards are simply a tool. They're morally neutral, just like money. We can use it for good or we can use it for bad. So let's not demonize credit cards, because there are some benefits. So a few of those benefits. Number one is convenience. So it used to be that originally we started off by trading through bartering goods and services with each other. Then came cash, which was acceptable between all people and had a common value. And then it was just a natural progression got us to credit cards. And you think about the convenience of a credit card. You can go just about anywhere with a credit card, and it's as good as money. And, you know, even thinking if you go international, you don't even have to take traveler's checks and things like that anymore. You can take a credit card with you, and even if you're in a country that has a different currency than we do here, credit cards will still do the translation to the other currency even. So they do provide a big convenience.
You know, I saw a sign in a restaurant over the weekend, Brad, that normally it seemed traveler's checks were widely accepted. They're saying, we don't accept those anymore, but we'll gladly accept credit cards. I'm like, wow.
What a transition through the years, right?
Uh-huh. Hey, what about, those are some benefits that you've mentioned of credit cards. They can be convenient. What about protections? You talk on your website under your boot camp blog about protection that credit cards can offer that some debit cards don't. Talk about that.
Sure. With credit cards, you have things like fraud protection. And one example of where a credit card provides something that a debit card doesn't is just in that process. If you have a disputed charge with a debit card, once the charge goes through, it's actually taking the money out of your bank account. So then we're kind of on that back leg where we're trying to get our money back. With a credit card, we can dispute it with the credit card company before we ever have to pay it. So that is a huge benefit, because if you have an unexpected charge or even a charge that shouldn't have gone through, go through on your debit card, guess what? Now that money's not in your checking account that you may have been counting on to pay your other bills. So suddenly now you're having to scramble and try to deal with this so that you can pay the other bills that you needed that money for.
Hey, can I just toss this in real quick? And Linda is aware of this, and I won't say what the company was, but I just had that very issue recently, Brad, and it took almost 5 months to resolve it. It was nuts. Thankfully, it came out in my favor, but wow.
Yeah, and so imagine 5 months without money that you desperately needed, right?
It helped that she had an attorney team and no.
Oh, right.
Went after the fraud.
No. I was just a relentless, angry woman on the phone all the time is what it was.
Well, let's talk about interest rates, because whether you get the credit card, you're going to be looking at a thing called interest rates. So how do you go about this if you want to choose a credit card that might be better for you to use?
Yeah, so interest rates are certainly one of the dangers we have to be careful of. And if we look at people with credit cards, there are two types of people. There are those that use it wisely and don't provide a lot of profits to the company. And then there are those who use them foolishly, carry a balance, and provide a lot of income for the companies that are offering credit cards. And if you look at those two people, the ones that are carrying a balance, right now the average person that is carrying a balance on their credit card is carrying about a $16,000 balance. And the average interest rate on credit cards is around 16% right now. So if you do that math, the person carrying a balance is paying on average about $2,500 a year in interest alone.
Wow.
So that is a huge amount. And you can understand why this snowball starts to get so big and why minimum payments don't seem to tackle much of your debt. So on that $16,000 balance, if you're paying $200 a month, you're not even covering your interest yet. So that kind of shows you the danger that can be there with the interest rates. So certainly there are things you can try to do to lower your interest rate. You know, some of that, when you're in that point where you have that much debt, you may not have the greatest credit score either or the availability to go get a cheaper interest rate. So the biggest thing is know the danger before you ever get there and avoid carrying that balance. That's the best advice I can give you. Once you've got it, then you've got to try to figure out a plan to at least start chipping away at that principal amount that you owe.
Well, and you write also, Brad, on your website, investingintruth.com, that when we're swiping plastic, whether it's a debit or credit card, we don't process our spending the same way as we do when we pay cash. I have been guilty of that in the past with my first credit card back in my 20s. I'm thinking, well, this isn't cash. I can deal with that later. But later catches up to you.
It's an unfortunate thing, just that mental aspect. I go back to how I talked about trading just in the very beginning of this segment even. When we used to barter things, it was pretty obvious the value of something we were giving up. Well, cash also has that known value in our mind. We have that mental perception where when we hand somebody $5, we understand what the value of that is. When we have even debit cards or credit cards, either one of them present this danger in that when we swipe it, there is no longer that giving up of something in value. All we did was we moved a piece of plastic, and suddenly we got what we wanted, and that connection to what we're giving up is not really there. And we don't feel the pain until the end of the month when the credit card statement comes and we got to make the payment.
Okay,
and,
so, oh, go ahead, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, and that's one of the reasons why we spend more when we have credit cards. So I've seen different statistics on this, but they tend to fall anywhere between 25% and 30% increased spending when a person uses credit card versus cash. So even if you're paying off your balance at the end of the month, you also have to take a look at, am I spending more just because of the method of payment I'm using, and am I making wise decisions in that way?
So I guess it's just a good reminder, too, to never buy things in your budget, because maybe you are doing some shopping. I know people say maybe around the holidays, Christmas, and they don't want to have a lot of cash on their person, so they'll use their credit card. But you've got to remember, I guess, just to keep it in your budget so you can pay the thing off.
Absolutely. That's just one of the steps of wise management of credit cards, is that we have a budget, we know what we're planning to spend, and just because we're using a tool that offers us this convenience, so we don't have to carry around an envelope with cash, because I know a lot of people don't like to do that, we got to make sure we're not spending any more. And that's why we track our expenses, that's why we have a budget, to at least be able to look forward and see, okay, what can I afford to spend? And then looking back on it after the fact to say, did I actually follow that plan, or am I still spending too much? We've got to know where our money's going, and if we don't know that, we probably don't know whether we're overspending on our credit cards either.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Brad, before we go through any more steps on wisely managing our credit cards, I kind of want to pull it over to the curb for a second and ask this question, because you say to keep our credit limit reasonable. There's no need to have a $40,000 limit if you only need $5,000. What about these credit card companies? What should we do? Let's say, because I've gotten these letters in the past too. Let's say I have a credit card with a $1,500 limit. My credit is good. The credit card company sends me a congratulatory letter. Hey, we're upping your credit. And suddenly, you know, you've got way more than what you need. Is it detrimental to contact the credit card company and say no? Keep my limit where it was?
Well, I'll probably get a little pushback from some people on this one, but I'm a big fan of limiting our credit, our available credit on credit cards, just because if we don't need it, why have it? And just like the credit card offer you just mentioned, it's always a celebratory letter that you get that raises your credit limit, right? They want to make you feel good about it, make you feel like, oh, well, I must be a good customer, and they're raising my available credit. So most people just let it go. I always give them a call back and have them reduce the amount because, you know, just as you read, why should I have that huge credit limit and that possible exposure not only to, you know, if I only have a $5,000 limit, then the most somebody can fraudulently charge on my card is $5,000, not $40,000. But also, if I'm just trying to provide my own protection, I don't have $40,000 that I can go spend. So I only have $5,000 that I can go spend. And as we talked about with the high interest rates, credit cards are not a good source of borrowed funds. because they're always going to be high interest. They're going to be hard to get paid back off. So I'm only using this for, as a tool. My goal is to keep it at a zero balance. And the moment that I'm starting to carry forward a sizable balance, I need to stop using the credit card. So why have that big available balance there that I could potentially use or get abused when it's really never going to serve me the purpose that it's designed to serve? And the pushback I'll get from some people is when it comes to credit scores. Available credit helps to play into improving your credit score. My thought on that is this high debt limit on your credit card provides somewhat of a danger, and the few points it's going to give you on your credit score isn't worth the danger. And if you're doing everything else right as you're managing your finances, your credit score is going to be perfectly fine anyway.